leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
And the band has cleared the field, and we're ready to go for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Glad that you guys are with us, and as we do now, as we start looking towards college hoop more. Pretty salty game. I don't know how salty the game is, but Duke, lost this past Sunday, so now Villanova has risen to the number one spot in the country, and you get a chance to take a look at them tonight as they will have Temple tonight on ESPN2. So if you want to check that out, you'll get a chance to look at that. But joining us now to talk about that and what's going on in the world of college hoop, Greg Peterson from My Guys in the Desert. Greg, welcome in. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Were you surprised to see Duke take that loss to Boston College or what?
I certainly was, and especially considering Boston College had just lost one of their starters, a graduate transfer from Illinois State the previous year. I believe he was their number three scorer. So Boston College came in a 15-point underdog. Had you bet it here in Vegas, if you put up $100, you would have gotten back $1,000 had you bet on Boston College. So it was certainly a shocking upset. And considering Duke had been rolling all year long, it was huge. But the one thing I will say is Duke had gotten themselves into precarious spots before. I mean, they had to come back against Florida. They had to come back against Texas. They were relatively close against Indiana. So they were playing with fire, and they finally got burned.
It's kind of interesting the way the seasons are unfolding now, because we would used to have some early season nice matchups in the tournaments and things like that, and then you'd see a lot of JV type games, a lot of smaller conference teams playing bigger conference teams, and then the conference schedule started in January. But these conferences have gotten so huge, it's like we're already getting games that are conference games now starting earlier than, it seems like earlier than ever with some of the conferences already in conference play.
A lot of that has to do with the Big Ten having to play their conference tournament a week earlier, because I believe that they're playing it at MSG this year. And right, because the Big East always uses it, they had to bump it up a week early. So the Big Ten already has two conference games in the books. So that's why we're seeing such a huge uptick in terms of conference games this year.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Avery Johnson will be in North Alabama next week with his team, as they'll be playing in a tournament, the Rocket City Classic, and he'll be doing his coach's show from one of the local restaurants and stuff. He's such a dynamic guy. He's really got a nice-looking team. I mean, they took a beat that was a little bit surprising a week ago, but, Colin Sexton, I mean, early on, the returns are really good on this kid.
Yeah, Colin Sexton is absolutely amazing, and do not sleep on Central Florida. This is one of the more underrated teams in the nation. Whenever you're facing off against a 7'6" player like Taco Fall is, it's going to be hard to be able to make shots. So a bit more of an understandable loss than most people may make it out to be for Alabama, and now they've gotten back on track. Getting that win against Rhode Island was very big, because Rhode Island is one of the best mid-majors in the country. We saw them make the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament last year. So they are on an uptick, and Alabama was able to get the win there. They got a hard-fought win against UT Arlington a couple weeks ago as well. I think that they're going to be one of the best mid-majors in the country and have an NBA player on their roster as well, Kevin Herbie. It seems like things are starting to come together for the Alabama offense as well. It seems like a very balanced team, and I like the way that they're trending upwards, especially with some of the teams in the SEC taking some losses in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and what is Sexton a one and done-er? I mean, in your mind, is this a one and done type of deal? Because you don't see that a lot at Alabama.
It's going to be interesting because Colin Sexton was one of the top point guards in the nation. If he were to come out right now, he would be a first-round pick in the NBA draft. But if he sticks around for 2 years, who knows? Maybe he goes from like being a mid to late first-round pick to potentially a lottery pick. So it's going to be really up to Sexton himself because he certainly can make his money right away. But at the same time, is he going to be one of those guys like a Miles Bridges that decides, you know what, I can be a first-rounder this year, but if I wait another year, I can possibly boost my stock and get an even bigger contract off the bat.
Auburn hasn't really played anybody real tough yet, but they are 8-1. You know, of course, they're coming in off of all of the Chuck Person stuff and the NCAA investigation and playing without a couple of their best players. But very quietly, you know, Bruce Pearl has that team, you know, at 8-1. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next for Auburn.
I am interested as well because this weekend they're playing against Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State is 6-1 the last 3 years against SEC foes. They went into Vanderbilt and got a win 2 weeks ago. Last week they were able to knock off Ole Miss at home. This is a very good Middle Tennessee State squad. So we're going to finally find out what this Auburn team is made of because as of right now, other than Temple, they really haven't played anyone. So that's why they've got a very good record to start out with off the bat.
Yeah, another team that's playing well is Tennessee. I mean, you know, again, they're overshadowed by everything that was going on with their coaching search and football and so on. But they're a team that's off to a 7-1 start. They got a nice win against Purdue. They're ranked number 20 now in the country. Their only loss is to number 1 Villanova, which was number 5 at that time. They beat NC State. You know, they got some decent wins on there as well. And, and now they get UNC coming up. And so we'll get a little bit of an idea on Saturday as to what they look like.
I certainly think that North Carolina versus Tennessee game is going to be a very interesting one because this Tennessee squad maybe doesn't have the big to match up. And we've seen Tennessee really get it done with defense. And in that loss against Villanova, they actually bled Villanova at the half. They had a very good first half against them. They let it get away, but that last minute was just atrocious for them. But that said, Tennessee has really shocked a lot of people. I mean, when they beat, like, the Presbyterian Blue Host and teams like that, you're just like, oh, they're just racking up wins because they're playing against nobody. But when they went down to the battle for Atlantis, that really showed me something about this team, and I'm feeling they could be the biggest overachievers in the conference this year.
Yeah, it's a great job being done there by Rick Barnes. I think he's overlooked a little bit sometimes, too, because, you know, the league has really upgraded the coaches, but he's part of that, I think, and that, and people sometimes don't give him enough credit.
I completely agree with you. The past 3 or 4 years, the SEC has done by far the best job of hiring coaches. You bring in a guy like Rick Barnes, Avery Johnson is a good hire. Heck, even going back a couple years further, Bruce Pearl, another very good coach that they bring in. Ben Howland, the list goes on and on. Mike White from Louisiana Tech has turned out to be a star at Florida. I mean, it seems like every one of these SEC schools is making a good hire whenever they go out and get a coach.
Vanderbilt thought they had made a really good hire. I don't know that they haven't necessarily made a good hire. They're one of the victims of that Middle Tennessee team that has been playing so well. But, what do you think about there, Drew and the job he's doing there? I mean, how long do they let that go before people start grumbling about, Vandy basketball?
Bryce Drew actually has one of the top recruiting classes coming into next year. I mean, they're actually getting 5-star recruits at Vanderbilt right now for next year. This year is going to be a dumpster fire for Vanderbilt. I mean, this is just not going their way. Matthew Fisher Davis is having to lead the team. He's not doing the best job of it. I mean, losing Luke Kornet was a bigger loss than we initially thought. So this year is not the year to base Vanderbilt off of. It's next year and the year after. They're going to cut him some slack at Vanderbilt because, let's be honest here, Vanderbilt fans, they seem to be the most forgiving of any fan base in the SEC, I would say. So I think the big thing is do they continue to grow next year because they've got such a star-studded recruiting class coming in.
Yeah. And you mentioned Middle Tennessee, by the way, in the job that they've been doing there for a few years. You wonder about Davis and at what point in time does he start being looked at? He's got some pedigree. He's really had some good teams. And you wonder at what point in time, they start looking at him.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens moving forward, just because, I mean, the schedules, as we're seeing, are getting exponentially tougher in the non-conference. And then when you get into conference play, it's a whole different animal. So, I mean, it's really a wait and see with him at this point.
Yeah. All right. Nationally, what have been the big stories for you so far? What has surprised you here in the early going, the first 10 games or so of the season?
I've been really surprised by the fact that Florida already has three losses. I mean, the loss against Duke, very understandable in the PK-80, facing a very good team, took them right down to the wire. But then losing at home to Florida State the way that they did, and then losing to Loyola Chicago was a big shock to me. How about Kansas losing twice? They lose to Arizona State, and it's a 21-point favorite against Washington. But if you're looking for a better surprise, the aforementioned Sun Devils of Arizona State have went from unranked to in the top five in the nation, currently undefeated, wins against Xavier, Kansas, St. John's, list goes on and on. Sun Devils are having a heck of a season right now.
Yeah, that's tremendous stuff that they've been able to do so far there. All right, when do you start putting together? I mean, I know you're like the bracketologist for you know, the guys in the desert there. When do you start playing around with that stuff and start putting together sample brackets?
I actually put together one during the preseason. I'm actually in the process of taking a look at the field right now. I sort of do my own projections. When it hits January is when I really start putting that more out to the public, but I'm keeping track of this stuff just about every day.
How concerned should we be about the Ball brothers and this deal for them to go to Siberia or wherever the hell they're going, Lithuania, to go play basketball? Could this become a thing, or do you think it's just a kind of a one-off deal with those guys and their goofy father?
We've seen it in the past with top-rated recruits. You may remember Emmanuel Mudiay was supposed to go to SMU. He was ruled academically ineligible, so he decided to play for a year overseas. Brandon Jennings, many years back, was supposed to go to USC as the number one overall recruit in the nation. He instead decided to go overseas, became a top 10 pick. I think we could see it a little bit more, especially if they continue this one-and-done rule instead of letting players go directly to the NBA from high school. But at the same time, I think that there will be a lot of players that still choose to go to the college route just because you do get more exposure when you play in college rather than overseas, because overseas, when you play in a country like Lithuania, like Turkey, all you get are those grainy YouTube videos that we all see, and they're just like, oh my gosh, he had one dunk, but he averaged 3 points per game. So
yeah.
I'm feeling it could become a little bit more popular. But at the same time, I think that college will still reign supreme.
Do we see anything on the horizon yet, as you read the tea leaves, as far as there being some sort of an adjustment to the one and done? I'm a big fan. We've talked about it before. I'm a big fan of the baseball rule. You either if you want to be drafted, fine. Go play in a D league. Go play in the NBA if you got it, if you think you got it. But if not, you make a longer commitment, at least 2 or 3 year commitment to college basketball. Are we seeing any movement on any of this?
Recently, we have not. But from what I've been seeing the past couple years is that Adam Silver really wants to go to that route. I think he was discussing more of a two-and-done system, but at the same time, it's not something that has really come up in recent weeks. I'm hoping it comes up soon. I'm hoping that this rule gets reversed, because it'll be good for everyone. It'll be good for the NBA. It could actually help out the G League a little bit, because if players come out directly from high school, they can make a little bit of money in the G League, stay there for a couple years, then get elevated to an NBA roster, and at the same time, it'll help out colleges as well, because you'll have more interaction with the players and the fans, because they'll be there for more than just 1 year. And it'll help out college coaches, because they don't have to worry about turning over half the roster if they get a couple good players.
Right, right. And we just want the familiarity with the player, and it's nice to know if you're a fan of a particular school that those guys are going to be around for a couple of years. And it seems to be some of these great players, you get to know them during the tournament, and then they're gone. You know, that it's that fast that it happens. And the turnover, I think, has been bad for basketball at both levels, both the professional and the college level, that's for sure. All right, how can they follow you on the Twitter if they want to follow you and keep up to date with what you're doing?
@GUnit_81 is my Twitter handle. And you can also follow the Vegas Stats and Information Network @VSinLive.
Very cool. All right, man, appreciate you as always. Great work.
Always happy to join you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. It's good work there. Greg Peterson, my guys in the desert. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, we're gonna speaking of my guys in the desert. This is related, not related. I don't know. You tell me. But Brett Smiley is going to join us from sportshandle.com. On the recent developments, there was a big hearing this past Monday in this whole effort to legalize sports betting. He's going to update us on where we're at with that deal and whether or not that could be coming around the corner in a not-too-distant future. So we'll get into that with him coming up here in just a little bit. I'm Tom Abraham, and this is 730-1039. Yep.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
Come to the Humidor Pipe Shop for the last cigar show of the year. This Friday, noon to 5:30, just in time for Christmas. Camacho Cigars will be in the house with great deals on these very popular ones. Also, great deals on boxes of Avo cigars. Come get what you really want for Christmas. Great deals, swag, and fun. Avo and Camacho, this Friday, noon to 5:30, at the Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Where, as always, you can smoke in the lounge.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad is it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but tune in tomorrow. We'll have Thursday night football for you. The Broncos will play the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coverage starts at 7 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
As a parent, it's what you do.
You protect your children.
You teach them how to brush their teeth.
How to wash their hands.
To look both ways when crossing the street.
You take them to the doctor when they're sick.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
I didn't know there was a vaccine for meningococcal meningitis, and my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
There wasn't a vaccine to protect against strain B meningococcal disease when my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
But now there is.
Just get the facts and vaccinate. It's the right thing to do.
Please visit nmaus.org.
A public service message from the National Meningitis Association. Our website, nmaus.org, has details about the two vaccines that protect preteens and teens. That's www.nmaus.org.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Weather sponsored by Panera Bread. Get a Panera Bread gift card this holiday season. For every $50 in gift cards purchased, you'll get a $10 bonus card. For more details, visit your local bakery cafe.
The weather tonight, not as cold as last night, mostly fair with a low at 32. A cooling trend tomorrow and Friday, a mix of sun and clouds both days. The high tomorrow 49, the high Friday 44. And Saturday a sunny day to kick off the weekend, the high at 55. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the Shaq outside the game.
Don't forget, now is the time to get into the doghouse at TOC, Huntsville Hospital. Doghouse Bowl Challenge. Go there to either Twitter or to the Facebook fan page and just click on the link that we put up there, and it'll bring up the group. A bunch of you have already gotten into the group, and whoever wins this thing will end up with the Huntsville Hospital, the TOC Huntsville Hospital Ice Suite, and Huntsville have a hockey game coming up this spring, and you'll have for you and five of your friends. It's a six-person suite. You want to invite me, invite me. If you don't invite me, I don't care. One way or the other, I don't care. But you'll get the suite. You get control of an ice suite, which is going to be very cool. It's a $300 value. So go there and get signed up for that deal. All right, joining us now, Brett Smiley. He is the editor-in-chief of sportshandle.com, and he joins us on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Brett, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good to be back. I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Fantastic. All right, Monday there was this hearing. I assume the hearing went on Monday, right? I'm seeing a lot about the hearing, but I'm not seeing the results of the hearing. Is that correct?
It did go on, and yeah, they don't. It's we're not going to get an immediate decision. That decision is going to come in the spring, around April.
Wow, I mean, it takes them that long to pore over all of this stuff, and I mean, it's a pretty. It would seem like it's a pretty. Now, go through for our listeners and kind of set up exactly what this is about, because this has to do with New Jersey and Governor Christie and so on. And Atlantic City and their ability to do what they want to do there. So tell us a little bit more exactly about what this particular hearing was about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it involved New Jersey, but pretty wide-reaching implications for the country as well. Basically, there's a 1992 federal law known as PASPA, Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. And what that did effectively was ban sports betting outside of Nevada. For about the past decade, New Jersey has been fighting in the courts, lower district courts and circuit courts, to overturn this law on the basis that it's unconstitutional because of the way it operates. And like you said, on Monday, there was an oral argument in the Supreme Court. It was kind of a long shot to even make it at the Supreme Court. They accept very few cases. But New Jersey had its day, and it sounded to my ear as if the justices were more receptive to New Jersey's case and less so the sports leagues, which have been fighting in favor of this law since its inception.
Well, how can why would the sports leagues be fighting in favor of the law when so many of the leagues got involved in fantasy sports, with FanDuel and all of this stuff? And, I mean, they're partners in that deal. And everybody knows that that's the same. That's sports betting. That's the thing that's driving fantasy sports, especially daily fantasy. It was the loophole, right, in this PASPA that created and allowed that to happen. It seems like they're speaking with forked tongue here a little bit, Brett.
Oh, yeah. There's layers upon layers of hypocrisy. And the leagues are invested in the daily fantasy, like you said. There's individual owners. It actually helps them. It drives ratings. And we also, there's public support for expanded sports betting from one of the NBA commissioners, that's Adam Silver, and that was noted in the briefs. So
right. They
are definitely arguing out of both sides of their mouths, and really what it is just a continuation of the argument that it's, quote, and for the integrity of the leagues, and they're just bringing it to their completion at this point in part because they're trying to figure out how to monetize what is appearing to be an inevitability.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court doesn't care about the betting part of this, right? I mean, from their standpoint, they're looking at the law, right? Isn't this about rule of law? They're not making a decision on whether or not sports betting is right or wrong. I mean, we can get into all the morality of the lottery and fantasy and all the rest of the world, you know, where sports betting is legal and so on. But from my understanding, that's not the issue for the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is an issue. It's an issue of law, whether or not this law itself is, was constitutional.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, the court did not take this case because Justice Roberts is interested in betting on the Redskins.
Right.
The importance of this case is because it's a matter of states' rights. Without getting too deeply into the weeds, what the law does is basically tells New Jersey that they can't repeal their laws regarding sports betting, and it basically handcuffs all the states with respect to what they're allowed to legislate. Now, the federal government could have said that the operators are not allowed to operate sports wagering, or people aren't, but they didn't. This law regulates the states, and you have states like Utah, which don't even have a lottery, that are upset about it because they don't like the precedent that it sets.
Yeah. Well, Alabama doesn't have a lottery either. People go over the border. They go into the other states that have it and so on. But each state by state made that decision. Do you think that it would follow that way where we would have, 46, 47, 48 states? Or is this just about New Jersey and there might be a handful, maybe California, maybe New York, some other places like that that would do it? Do you think it would be open gangway if they got rid of this thing?
It depends a bit on the nature of the decision. It's possible it could be limited to New Jersey. It's possible it could strike the law. That said, if it did strike the law in whole, there will definitely be New Jersey that'll have sports betting soon after. And there are about a dozen states that are already contemplating some sort of legislation. A couple of them have basically said, if there's a change in federal law, we're going to go at it. But that's Pennsylvania, West Virginia, New Jersey, California, like you said, also Mississippi, Michigan. So it's in some states it'll take longer than others. They still have to pass some laws, figure out taxation, licensure, whether they want it to be at the existing casinos or allow some online. So it's not going to be like a sudden flip of the switch, but there are definitely a lot of states across the nation that are interested in getting in.
How would it impact the casinos that are all over the country now that are run by the Native Americans? We've got these casinos in every state, it seems like, and you can go there and you can play every game that you want to play except for play on games. Would that be something that would become a kind of an obvious thing where folks can go over to Tunica or they could go wherever they go where there's a casino on an Indian reservation and go ahead and play the games as well?
Yeah, that's one of the complications, and I'm not sure where that's at because, states like New York and, there's Indian casinos in a lot of the states, and they operate under different compacts with the state. I think there's been some resistance because, they don't want to lose a bit of a monopoly they have, and they want to make sure that they're in on sports betting as well. But that's one of the things that state lawmakers are going to have to wrestle with to try and make all sides happy with the situation.
Yeah, Brett Smiley with us, the editor-in-chief of sportshandle.com, talking about the legislation and what is inevitably coming. And it would seem like what happened with daily fantasy sports kind of pushed this thing to the forefront, right? I mean, it was so clear that was gambling, and so quickly the leagues and some of the commissioners came out on behalf of that. It seemed like that was kind of driving the bus a little bit, that they're going to say, okay, all right, this is ridiculous. And if there's this big of a handle that's out there, somebody has to make this money, whether it's the states, the leagues, whoever. There's an incredible amount of money that is just being kicked to the wayside, not taxed and so on, that would benefit a lot of people, similar to what happened with the lottery.
Yeah, it's always money, right? But daily fantasy, I think, was definitely a big driver. I think it was a lot also public attitude. The Washington Post did a survey this year, and it shows that about 60% of Americans are in favor of just letting the states decide what they want to do. A lot of people are, in favor of gambling going on. So between the daily fantasy, March Madness pools, everyone does it. People are more receptive of sports wagering. And yes, it is already occurring on just a massive scale. There's some $300 billion being wagered illegally right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, I mean, very little of the wagering occurs in Las Vegas. You know, it's with offshores, local bookies, and the states want to get a cut on activity that's already occurring. And now the leagues, I think the last hurdle is the leagues figuring out how they get their cut as well.
And it would be a lot safer, I would think, because there wouldn't be margin accounts. It's going to be you're going to make a deposit, and you'll have that money, and you're playing money that, you know, you decided, okay, this is how much I can afford, and I want to put in there. And whether you're betting $20 on a game or $200 on a game, that would be, I would think that would be part of the regulation. And but I wonder from an internet standpoint, because that's how everything seems to be done now. That's the simplest way for everybody to do this. Would the feds have to be involved on some level to allow? You know, you're not going to have necessarily in each state, you know, these bookies. Would you have a situation where you can bet with whoever it is, you know, whether it's a house in Vegas or New Jersey or whatever it is, wherever you are in the country?
Well, that's kind of a whole different issue, and that could potentially run into the Wire Act, which prevents
right.
Interstate communication like that. So the way it's going to go, I think the licenses are going to go to the existing brick-and-mortar casinos. For Atlantic City, for example, like Borgata, Golden Nugget, you know, these institutions that are already working with the state gaming boards. I don't think they're going to license, you know, Jim and Joe, whomever, to run a sports book online. There's going to be pretty strict regulations, you know, IDs involved, and you're right, there is a lot of internet and mobile gaming going on, but there's going to have to be regulations, you know, through each state. I doubt that you'd be able to do interstate or shop lines all over the country. That's a discussion for another day.
Do you think a day will come where you'll walk into your local convenience store and you'll be able to pull down a ticket that has all the games on it for that weekend, and you can go ahead and pick games and turn it in with $2 and have a 14 parlay and all that other kind of stuff like we do with the lottery?
I don't know if it's going to, you know, go the scratch-off route. Part of the idea is also driving foot traffic to the existing casinos, helping the institutions that are already involved, you know, getting them to retail shops, the hotel stays, restaurants, you know, and in the London, there are pretty much betting kiosks, you know, all over at every corner. But at least in the early going, I anticipate that the sports books will be at the existing institutions, help them out and, you know, make their other amenities do better.
All right. Before I let you go, it's a law in our part of the country. You have to give an opinion as to whether or not we're going to get an all SEC national championship. So I know Alabama's a short favorite. I know Georgia's a short favorite. I know the money's coming in, you know, heavily right now on Alabama, in their, game against Clemson a little bit. It's pretty much mixed in the Rose Bowl. But what do you think? Are we going to get an all SEC national championship game played in Atlanta?
Well, I didn't even realize it was, in Atlanta. That last Georgia game I saw was pretty good, and I am the owner of two Bulldogs, so I like Georgia. So it's gonna be Georgia-Atlanta, or Georgia-Alabama.
In Alabama. All right, man. Appreciate you, and we'll continue to follow the story and follow you guys at sportshandle.com.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that decision's coming in April, and changes are coming, so good talking to you.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks. Brett Smiley. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. I mean, just think about the money that's there to be made. I mean, it's just to me, the government, you know, I mean, you could argue whether or not there should be a lottery in the state of Alabama, but the government would be making the VIG and the tax. I mean, right now it's not taxed, and you know, it's like the wild, wild west out there. And you could say what you want about, you know, worrying about the integrity of the game. They don't have this problem anywhere else in the world. They're worrying about the integrity of the game and the premiership, you know, where they're, or NFL games that they bet on in England or anywhere else in Europe. You know, I don't think, and it's not like, you know, what do you think? You're going to get some guy that makes $10 million a year to throw a game for, you know, a few hundred dollars? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. All right, when we return, we're going to open lines the rest of the way. So if you want to get in, 866-485-9867. If you don't bet now, if there was legal sports betting, would you bet on a game? Would you bet on college football or the NFL if you don't bet now, if it were legal? Is the legal issue the issue that stops you? Those of you that already bet, you bet. And many of you who listen to this show do. I know you're betting on games. But if it were, if you don't bet right now, would you jump on board and start betting if it was legal? I'd love to hear from you. 866-485-9867 or text at 732-982-7469. Open lines the rest of this hour. You want to jump in? We'll be back with more right after this on 730-1039.
WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Urology Centers of Alabama, a proud sponsor of Alabama Athletics, providing state-of-the-art urological care at 13 locations across the state. To find a specialist, visit urologycentersalabama.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Junior defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick and senior center Bradley Bozeman received All-America honors from the Sporting News yesterday. Fitzpatrick was named to TSN's first team, while Bozeman was a second team selection. That means that Fitzpatrick is now a consensus first team All-American this season, having previously been recognized by Walter Kemp, the Football Writers Association of America, and the Associated Press. Bozeman has now received second team honors from all four groups as well. Of course, you'll recall Fitzpatrick was also the winner of the Chuck Bednarik and Jim Thorpe Awards as well. I'll have more in a moment.
Here's a performance stat no one wants to talk about. Erectile dysfunction affects half of all men over 40. That's 50%. If you're struggling with ED and other therapies haven't worked, isn't it time to feel like yourself again? Learn about a long-lasting ED solution from Coloplast to get you back in the game. This is Dr. Brian Christine, ED specialist with Urology Centers of Alabama. Call our office and set up an appointment today at 1-844-SOLVE-ED. That's 1-844-SOLVE.
Alabama senior volleyball star Leah Lawrence has been named a third-team Academic All-American. That honor was handed out by COSIDA yesterday. And the Alabama gymnastics team is ranked number 4 in the preseason coaches poll nationally. The title faced 5 members of the preseason top 10, including number 1 Oklahoma and number 10 Kentucky at home in Coleman Coliseum, and number 2 Florida, number 3 LSU, and number 7 Michigan on the road. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Urology Center of Alabama, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Bill got us a drum set!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels for the deals you won't find anywhere else. Go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but tune in tomorrow. We'll have Thursday night football for you. The Broncos will play the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coverage starts at 7 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-947-1670. 800-947-1670. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-947-1670.
This is Michael David from
Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now, my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Did you miss a guest, 10 after tweets, or a bit on Cube Show? If so, go check out the podcast at umpsports.com. That's right, every show podcasted at umpsports.com. Click podcast.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah, seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Like, one thing that we've always been on this show is brutally honest with you. So after the update, I got to ask you guys something. All right, I need your help about it. And but first, let's get the update with T-Mac. It's a Doghouse Sports Report.
The Miami Marlins continue to dump all-stars as they trade Marcell Ozuna to the St. Louis Cardinals. Ozuna coming off of his career-best season and the two-time all-star, back-to-back all-star traded to the Cardinals. Auburn running back Cameron Petway will not return for the Peach Bowl after missing the last five games with a fractured bone in his shoulder, and it's still unclear whether Kerryon Johnson will play, but Malzahn assures us that Johnson does want to play in the bowl game, and Auburn becomes the next school to land a commitment from an Aussie kicker at 25 years old. Aaron Sippus of the 2018 class announces he will join the Tigers next season. Austin Thomas, LSU's GM for football operations, will take the same position at Tennessee. Thomas has been a key recruiter for LSU as well and will assume that responsibility at UT. And Alante Taylor, a highly rated wide receiver who decommitted from Tennessee in November, has recommitted to the university, citing the attitude change within the new coaching staff pleases him. And finally, the Pacers will host the 2021 All-Star Game. It will be the city of Indy's first All-Star Game since 1985, when the game was played at Hoosier Dome. This year's All-Star Game will be in L.A. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
And it's interesting because both Cam Petway and Kerryon Johnson will be eligible for the NFL draft, so you wonder whether or not, you know, you got two guys, obviously Petway's now, but Kerryon Johnson, who's been banged up, you know, you wonder if that's a situation where he will want to lay low and not play. You know, Gus says that he wants to play, which is very admirable, you know, that he wants to play. And obviously they're a different team without him. But if you were advising Kerryon Johnson and he was going out, is that the right thing? I mean, would you say, you know, go play in that thing, or does it make sense? You know, last year we saw it with Christian McCaffrey. We saw it with Leonard Fournette. These were guys that did not play in meaningless. I mean, there are only two bowl games that mean anything are the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl. Let's be honest. Those are the only two games that mean anything. So at what point in time does a guy say, oh, with this, I'm going out. I can't take the chance of getting hurt. I mean, at some point it's, you know, it might happen in a playoff game. I mean, what if Baker Mayfield just said, you know what? I've won the Heisman. I've done everything I can do. I don't know that I could take the chance of getting my arm broken in the Rose Bowl or in a national championship game.
I don't think you could go low enough to find the just nastiest dive bar that I would be living in if that were to happen.
But I mean, you could kind of see why, you know, something like that could happen. What would, you know, why that would make sense. All right. What's not making sense, as I said, is we're brutally honest. I can't join my own Doghouse Bowl Pick'em contest. My TOC, Huntsville Hospital Doghouse Bowl Challenge. I don't know why. Now, I got to know, is anybody, and I'm seeing guys that have joined. I see Gator Man is in there, and I see Bama fans, and I see B Rich is in there, and Cowboy Chris is in there. So Tony Mac's in there. I see you guys are all in there. But T Mac, I just clicked on the invitation that you sent me. And when I click on it, it says Doghouse Bowl Pick'em. It says group. It says invite friends, group chat, and group directory. That's what it says underneath Doghouse Bowl Pick'em. And I must be the biggest idiot ever. I played this last year. I've done it many times in the past. There's no place here where it says for me to join the group.
It's a head scratcher. I don't get it either. I've talked you through everything that I can think of. I sent you an invitation. I don't know if you want to type up your information. I'll log in and see if I could do something with it while you do your show.
I'm wondering if anybody else is having a problem. That's what I want to know from the peeps. Is anybody having a problem joining our game? I mean, I don't need to talk to you, to those of you that did get in, but is there anybody else that is having an issue getting in? Is it? I don't know. I'm logged in under my ESPN account. I don't know, man. So you know what I'm going to do then, T-Mac? So you're saying send you my username and password?
Yeah, send it over to me in the chat or however you want to do it, and I'll log in there and see what I can do.
Let's see if you can do this. I'm really interested in this because this is really annoying to me. I think that's that. And let me double check. Yeah, that's my username. Did you get that?
Yeah, I heard
it.
Just
wrote it on a piece of paper and slid it over to T-Mac. Okay, and that is my password.
Okay.
Did you get that?
I got it.
All right, you go ahead and log in on that.
In the meantime... You're really good at folding up this piece of paper. Is that origami? Yeah. Is that origami?
It's origami.
That's cool.
I sent that right over to you. Yeah, it's a little message there. It's a little origami mess, whatever the hell origami. What's origami? That thing that they make, you make like things out of it?
Like the little swans and stuff like that. I don't know how to do it. It's too complicated for me.
I don't know either. By the way, those of you that won tickets to the Music City Bowl, they will be ready in the next few days. And when they are ready, we'll let you all know as to, you know, how you got to go pick them up. You'll be picking them up at the office in Huntsville, but they haven't been mailed yet. I talked to the lady yesterday at the Music City Bowl. She said they haven't been printed yet. They're in the process of getting everything ready. They got to make up the envelopes for all the different radio stations they do deals with, and then they get sent out. So we don't have them in yet, but you'll have them plenty of time to come on down and pick them up before the game, including our grand prize winner. All right, so I just want to make sure that y'all know that. Earlier on the show, somebody sent me a message through the Facebook fan page, and they're like, you know, if you're Nick Saban, because we were talking earlier about where Alabama goes for their next defensive coordinator, and I'm of the opinion right now, to be quite honest with you, I think they got the guy on staff. I think defensive coordinator for Nick Saban is totally a different animal than offensive coordinator for Nick Saban. Offensive coordinators come in, they have a system, sometimes they got their own language. Nick Saban meets with him, he says, look, this is the way, it's my philosophy, and then you work your system into his philosophy. When Lane Kiffin got there, Lane Kiffin didn't come in there as a go fast, you know, NASCAR type of offense. Saban said, look, we want to go fast. Okay, Kiffin took his offense and turned it into that. And then he called the plays, and I'm sure that Saban had some input on the game plan, but he has a ton of input on the defensive game plan. And that's why you saw at times Saban going nuts on play calling. You know, he was, you know, one of the, you know, run the ball guy. And there would be times you'd see him animated in his conversation with Lane Kiffin because he wanted Kiffin to call certain, you know, certain plays. But it was within the offense. And when whether it was Doug Nussmeier, or whether it was Jim McElwain, or whether it's Brian Daboll, or whether it was Lane Kiffin, they all came in with an offense and then shaped that into what Nick Saban wanted. Defensively, this has been Nick Saban's defense. This has been Nick Saban's defense really since his days with Bill Belichick in Cleveland. And the defensive guys have come off of the staff. I mean, he had Kevin Steele as his first defensive coordinator in 2007. When he left, Kirby Smart was on that defensive staff with Saban. Kirby Smart became the defensive coordinator. Jeremy Pruitt was on that defensive staff as a linebacker coach. And Jeremy Pruitt left and went to Florida State and then to Georgia. And then when Kirby got the head coaching job, Nick Saban brought him back as a defensive coordinator. So these have been relatively young guys in the Saban system. So this is his system of defense, and they're running his defense. His hands are all over that defense. That's his defense. It's a 30 front. It's changed. It's morphed over the years from being three big, huge defensive linemen to being guys that can run more to accommodate the fastball offenses. But this has been his defense forever. And the logical choice is Tosh Lupoi. I mean, he's, quote, the co-defensive coordinator as it is. I think they take the co off of his name. You don't go hire John Chavis or Gene Chizik, like the knucklehead little bald guy said. You're not going to go hire some other guy who's got a defense and a certain way of play. Todd Grantham's name came up. Todd Grantham just took the defensive coordinator job at Florida. Now, Phil Savage, who worked with Nick Saban in the scouting department, basically, when they were all in Cleveland back in the 90s, he says the defense is something Nick Saban has had his hands on. He had a personal investment, a personal involvement since day one. You're talking about a defense that the roots of it were put together in Berea, Ohio, with Bill Belichick and the Cleveland Browns, or at least elements of it. And it's morphed and evolved and it's changed and adjusted. But you got over 25 years of information that's built up over time. If you spend any season or several seasons, then you go figure out pretty quickly it's sort of its own entity in terms of terminology and lingo. Savage said in a story by Rainer Saban at AL.com, there's a long history with a resource like Coach Saban who has seen it all. It's why the last two defensive coordinators for Alabama were Saban proteges. He groomed Smart, going back to his time as the defensive coach at a defensive back coach at LSU and in Miami Dolphins. And then Smart stepped in for Kevin Steele in 08 when Steele left. He was succeeded by Jeremy Pruitt. It's those kind of guys. Saban goes on to write, Derek Ainsley has supervised the defensive backs, but he has been a position coach with the Tide for just two seasons. Tosh Lupoi has worked with the team's pass rushers, yet has only been an on-field assistant at Alabama 1 year longer than Ainsley, 3 years. So Ainsley's been there 2 years. Lupoi has been there 3 years. Rainer Saban writes, that's why finding Pruitt's successor could be one of the most challenging pursuits Saban has faced as Alabama's coach. Saban, though, says it's an opportunity to find the next good guy to come along. Hopefully, it'll improve the organization in a different way. I think it's Tosh Lupoi. I may be totally wrong, but I think it's Tosh Lupoi. What do you mean I'm in, T-Mac? What the hell?
You're in the group now.
Well, why? I'm not computer illiterate. Illiterate.
Well, you would be illiterate if it didn't work. You're not computer literate.
But why? Why? How did you get me in?
Yeah, you had to select join now for free before you could make anything happen.
Oh. So should we be telling people that? Maybe we should tell them that you select join now for free. And I thought I clicked on that, but I've been having a problem with my mouse. I had one. I have a mouse problem. All right, coming up next, spend a little time with Anthony Herron on 730 1039 AM.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
At Amazon, we've got millions of toys and games to choose from this holiday. For kids of all ages, from the classics to new ideas to the must-have hits. So, whether you're buying for creative kids, competitive kids, or, well, grown-up kids, visit Amazon for all the toys and games you need and give a little love this holiday. And get free shipping on over 100 million items with eligible orders over $25, only at Amazon.
Give a little bit of my love to you.
Right now, the Home Depot has the Husky 230-piece mechanics tool set for just $99. It's the perfect starter set for any up-and-coming do-it-yourselfer. And right now, it's at the perfect price. And since Husky mechanics tools are guaranteed forever, this starter set will be around to finish projects for years to come. Start something great with the Husky 230-piece mechanics tool set, just $99. Now at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through February 3rd, 2018. U.S. only. While supplies last.
Progress Bank wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Expect uncomplicated banking and local expertise from smart bankers and good listeners. Visit us at myprogressbank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Your Tennessee Titans stay out west, this time to Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2:30 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and 49ers with a 3:25 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the 49ers this Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved, visit IWLA.org. That's IWLA.org.
We will never fully understand what we've asked of our military service members or their families, asking them to put themselves in harm's way, to endure it all. But we do understand that it's our turn, our duty, to keep them secure for the rest of their lives. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs help our most severely ill or injured veterans live independently, at no cost, for life, so that they might stand at ease. Join us at findwwp.org.
Boots on the ground. It's what we say when our soldiers are deployed to protect our freedom abroad. But now the bravest men and women among us need our boots on the ground. Military veterans are twice as likely to fall victim to ALS, the fatal neurodegenerative disease that robs them of the power to use their legs. Hold someone close, eat a solid meal, and simply say, "I love you," before ultimately losing the ability to breathe. Most often, they remain aware and alert to the world around them, as their bodies gradually shut down and die. You don't need to know a veteran with ALS to know it must be stopped. And that those
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Get ready, Tennessee Valley. It's dark outside, and the big dog is on the air.